So, how do we start?
Hi, this is Aga and Łukasz, and this is Catching the Next Wave podcast, where we discuss the future of design.
And much more.
So, it seems we got to the end of season two.
So, how do we end?
We are sitting here with Aga and Łukasz. Werner is unfortunately not with us today. Here's the message from him.
Hey guys, I hope you're keeping warm there in Warsaw. I wanted to send you much love and greetings from a sunny San Diego. And yeah, I can't express my disappointment that I can't be in studio with you to record the final episode of the Catching the Next Wave podcast. However, I assure you that I'm there in spirit. And thankfully, through the trickery of digital, I can make it or sneak into the show. Now, someone asked me about season two recently, and I don't know if I made any sense, but the way that I described it to them is that, you know, scientists are going out there to try and harness the clean kinetic energy of waves. And I think in season two of Catching the Next Wave, we have tried to do the same by capturing the empowering energy of design and how we can use that to empower those around us. Now, I'm kind of living this empowerment in a moment because the next wave has also swept me onto new adventures and to new continents where I'm working with a bunch of people exploring how we can empower other people to, through the art of design, change behavior within people. Yeah, and I think this is some of the topics that we've discovered and explored during the course of the season. And I hope this will empower people to do the same, because I think that is what is important. Is like, how can we, through the content that we created in season two, actually inspire and motivate action? It's only through action that empowerment can happen, I think. Now, yeah, Aga, I just wanted to send a shout out to you for taking the helm. And then also, Łukasz, welcome aboard, sir. I'm really appreciating the alternative perspectives that you are bringing into the show. And yeah, looking forward to more. So hope to catch you guys on the next wave. And looking forward to letting season two see the light. Catch you guys later.
Werner, we are missing you here. And I hope the next time we will have the chance to record it all together.
That would be great.
This season was about empowerment.
How did it start? Because I wasn't there.
True.
Yeah.
So what happened was that in season one, where we talk about transformation, we both realized that what is transformation all about is about empowerment of people doing the stuff they believe in. So we thought that perhaps this is another topic to explore, to deepen the understanding of how transformations can happen. We got with two assumptions. One is that empowerment happens through coaching, which is something that we explored a little bit in this season. But also we were looking for a way the design can empower. And interestingly enough, I don't think that we really got much into that direction, a little bit, but there were other directions that also popped up in this season. We were thinking of talking to some designers, but not many. And we didn't talk to almost any designers in this season. That's what I'm realizing right now.
I hope it's not my fault that we derailed a little bit from the design direction.
I think it's interesting to go beyond design and understand how design can be informed with the different directions that we are exploring. And I think that we will keep on having some designers on the podcast, but I'm sensing that since you got involved, we are going to get other people more and more involved as well. And I think that it helps. It helps to develop this podcast into something beyond design, yet connected to design.
Yeah, I really had space to throw my stuff in. Thank you.
Pleasure. So the question is, did it go how we imagined? And as you might be probably guessing from what we are already saying, it actually went in a very unexpected direction. Mm. So let's start talking about who our guests were.
Since we released the whole season at the time, the order of the episode is important, but also not as important as if we released one by one. And if you are listening with attention, you will notice that the ordering of this episode is not necessarily the same one that we recorded in, because of me coming in and Werner being sometimes available or not. So we have created the order that we thought would be the best.
Yeah, and probably the funniest thing of this order is that the first time you, Łukasz, appear is in a conversation with Peter, and this conversation is the last one.
Yes.
So please don't be surprised when you hear in the very last episode, after having Łukasz on so many episodes, that he's a Werner replacement guy.
I'm still Werner replacement, but not the first time. Okay, Aga, so how will this season start?
The first conversations we have is something that kicked my ass. It's a conversation with John Law, one of the founders of the Burning Man Festival, as some of you may know it. The episode is not about the Burning Man, it's actually about secret societies and how secret societies can empower through giving people space to create their own inventions. I must say, I'm super jealous for everyone who will have the pleasure to listen to this episode for the first time. Mm. I've listened to it for 3 or 4 times, editing and then, you know, checking everything. And I'm still laughing. I'm still feeling all the emotions of the story that John says. It's an amazing story.
You said that it's about secret societies, and John speaks about secret ones, but I took from this that doesn't have to be secret, but a small group can have huge influence on even really big industry and really difficult industry to change. But I'm not gonna spoil it anymore.
So the next conversation we've got is with Scott Gold, the author of the book Shape of Engagement. And this is another absolutely fantastic conversation. Mm. Scott is ex-minister of the Anglican Church, and with him, we explored 2 subjects. One was, what is the meaning of engagement in general? And then what was absolutely fantastic for me as a designer was our exploration of what designers can learn from the church to create engagement and to empower.
Yeah, it's amazing how it evolved over the years. And now it's like perfectly addresses those deep human needs that we all have. Also, what was interesting, and I think it's good to have this episode early in the season, is that he's thinking in terms of mental models, and the conversation with him, it clarified many definitions for me. Like, disengagement is not lack of engagement.
Mm-hmm. And also the difference between engagement and motivation. Mm-hmm. That was also a very interesting definition there.
Yes, very useful to have this definition straight, so we can really discuss the same concept, not to mix them and talk past each other. That was great.
So the third episode is our conversation with Adam Lindstrom. Adam is an educator from New Jersey who is using design thinking and other different methods that are probably better known from the business world, like, for example, hackathons, to empower students and teachers as well, to start thinking independently and to feel empowered to do the things they believe in.
He also had many thoughts about how technology fits into that. I remember him talking about that it's a big help, it is a hurdle, so that definitely sounded like a big challenge. Mm-hmm. The fourth one was the other Scott, Scott Perry. That was a discussion in my head on so many levels. It was in principle about fighting resistance, but we addressed it on many levels. And the one that stuck with me was that he went almost 2,000 years in history to one great philosopher who happened to be also an emperor of Rome. Yeah, he was speaking basically attitude towards life and towards fighting this resistance and all other emotions that stop us from being the best version of ourselves.
Scott is my awesome friend from the Alden MBA. For those who listened to the season one, Kelly Wood is talking about the Alden MBA workshop and how it empowers people to change and to leap. And I think that Scott is this absolutely amazing example of a guy who took the leap, and he's doing the stuff that he loves to do and the things he believes in. He recently wrote a book called Endeavor, which aims to help people who want to empower other people. And a lot of things in this episode is about exactly that. So it's not only about fighting the resistance within yourself, but it's also using the skills to help others to fight their resistance.
He's also a great musician, and I have yet to meet a good musician who is not fun to talk with.
Yeah, that's true. Our next guest is Mel Lang. Mel is an agile coach, and Mel is your friend for quite a long time by now. The conversation with Mel, it was something that blew my mind on yet another level. First of all, I was absolutely fascinated to hear how her story evolved from being in an interactive agency to being a cook, and then becoming an agile coach, and how the cooking school and all this cooking experience have changed her from a bitchy project manager to probably one of the most empathetic agile coaches you might imagine. So this conversation is about empathy. It's about empowerment, but in terms of coaching. This is actually the one conversation that talks about coaching a lot and how coaching can help. And I think that it's useful for anyone who wants to run teams that function well.
There is a number of aspects that have to be taken care of if you are thinking about any change. And Mel was talking about helping each individual to overcome whatever is blocking them. And the next guest that we had, April Mills, another friend of us, who basically carries this notion of introducing change on an organizational level. And she, it's kind of boring that we say about every our guest that he or she is a great person, that they all really are. So it's not a kind of, you know, being nice or a cliche. Just listen to the episode. And her history is even more intriguing, or at least equally intriguing as Mel's, because she started in a military nuclear navy shipyard, and she became a person driving a change there. And then she switched to Intel. Another change, slightly different angle. It seems all of them are important.
She's also an author of a book.
The book, which is titled Everyone is a Change Agent.
So what was absolutely fascinating for me from this episode was, there were two things. One thing was that April doesn't really like the word empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
For her, empowerment means that you have to be picked by someone. You have to be given the power to change.
Yes, and also that it is something that is done to people.
Right, rather than done from within.
Yes, exactly.
That was interesting as a notion. And the other thing was that many organizations, they try to inflict change across the entire company. And that's not going to work.
Yes, for a number of reasons, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she covered those reasons pretty well. I think we really hit her very strong suit in this conversation, because the amount of nuggets that you could take from that conversation, if you are in this kind of environment where the change is about to happen, or is happening, or you want it to happen, it's really a lot of condensed knowledge. Some of our conversations are free-flowing, and we just chat, and that was like chatting, you know, just like a cake. And once in a while, you hit kind of a raisin of, oh, this whole area in a nugget, the answer is 42. Then we go even one layer higher in the organization, and we talked to Ask.
Ask Ader.
That's a Danish name. So we have asked Ask how he changes organizations. What was surprising for me, and I really wonder if it is culture dependent, that he is using games to influence the leaders of companies. I have seen games being used with the worker bees, and it's always fun. But, you know, having games with top management people from serious organizations, that cannot be easy. Has to be well designed, I guess.
Oh, definitely. What was really striking for me from this conversation was how Ask was talking that playfulness has this incredible ability of building trust between people. That was something that I've never thought of. I thought that this is a way to be creative, that this is a way to make people leave the roles behind, but I've never thought about building trust.
Yes, also Mel mentioned it a few times. So there is a little bit of a loop here in this four episodes in a row. It would be great to mash them all together, but that would be like 4 hours long. You guys probably wouldn't want that, right?
And also, like, you need to digest what is in every single one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I had really lots of fun when we were editing those episodes to make them sound better. I wouldn't mind going through some of them a number of times. We keep telling mind-blowing, but it really was.
And the last mind-blowing episode, and it was mind-blowing to me again, was the episode with our friend Peter.
Sometimes you can see him at the conferences, although very occasionally, but he has such great insights coming from a very different perspective because he spent 28 years serving in military in Norwegian Navy. And yeah, his view of the world is very different from the one that most people that we have met have. But on the other hand, I keep wondering, is this really that different view? Or just tools are different? And to be honest, I'm bouncing back and forth between those two views. The military world is very different from our civilian, corporate, startup, whatever world. But if we dig deeper with Peter, you know, it's basically the same, just the tools are different.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of schizophrenic on this.
I was listening to what he was saying and I was thinking, oh, I'd love to have some of these tools applied to the business world and also convince the business world to think, especially about building teams, in a way the military does. And again, I don't want to spoil you the fun of listening to this episode, but for me, this conversation had a huge impact on how I think about what a team means.
Mm-hmm.
And also what empowerment means.
Okay, so we refreshed our memory about the conversations we had. But if you look at all of them, what are your takeaways or things that stuck with you the most?
Maybe not stuck, but were really surprising for me.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I keep on thinking about since this conversation was the conversation with John Law. And John was talking about the difference between organizing commercial events and events where you chip in. So basically what he says is that when you organize a commercial event where people pay for coming to it, you kind of keep a distance from it. You are an organizer. You are not part of the fun. But if you collect a group of people and you guys chip in to organize something together, the bond that's being created there is very different. And as I'm thinking with a bunch of friends of organizing an event, we had this discussion about charging. And then I was thinking, like, how about we do it the other way around? We chip in and then we are also participants, not only organizers. So this is something that really stayed with me from this conversation. How about you?
I think the two biggest overarching insights that I carry, I think they have been a little bit in my head even before we started this or before I joined you guys in this season, but they got really reinforced and I'm really consciously now thinking about them. One is that, and this was Scott Perry that triggered that to the surface of my brain, is that we as humanity or as civilizations, plural, we have already solved so many issues and we keep forgetting the solutions. I mean, when Scott carried, he grabbed Marcus Aurelius from almost 2000 years ago. He discussed a little bit his thoughts, no spoilers. I thought, gee, this is what we are struggling with today because of, I don't know, technology and social media, and there is already a solution. When we spoke with Mel and April, they are change agents, but in the IT world, this is the one hot for a couple of decades already. And that reminded me that in the end, it's about feeling good, doing your job in a good way that doesn't ruin neither you nor your job. And then there is an article freely available from the 60s, from IBM, how they done it. They solved it. Geez, why don't we learn from the past? So we both, you and me, Aga, we have our background in research on the boundaries of knowledge. And there, indeed, you have to invent. But we are not in that world anymore. So for us today, and probably for most of our listeners, it's much better investment of our time and energy. Just look to the past, pick up some books, pick up some people who know about those books, and then, yeah, the solutions are there. It's just a matter of implementing them. And this is where this empowerment comes from. This is maybe stuff that we have to learn a little bit new because of the whole the neuroscience. We start to understand brain better only recently. So that's new stuff. But the rest, yeah, hardly.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about looking into the past. What stuck with me, and then I'm going to think about the conversation with Peter, the conversation with Mel, the conversation with Scott Gold, the conversation with Adam, that we don't only have to look in the past, we should also look into the different domains.
Yes.
Mel was talking about wanting to understand how directors of documentaries are working, because she thinks that there is plenty to learn about empowerment and about creating empowered teams. Mm-hmm. Peter is talking about empowerment in the military, again, a different domain. Adam is talking about empowerment through education and empowering of teachers and students. And Scott Gold is talking about the empowerment through church and off church. We have the people who know about it next to us. And often we are so focused on our domain and we keep on reading the books about our domains, mm-hmm, rather than just basically look a little bit further. And maybe many of these things can be solved easier than we think.
That wasn't planned, but it works really well. That segues to my ultimate takeaway. And it's a very humbling one, because empowerment is related to change, right? Because if you want to have everything exactly as it is, the notion is not really necessary.
True.
So if I jump to the subject of change, what was really humbling, and I think it resonated in absolutely all of these conversations, is that you have to start with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So that was something, again, that was bubbling, and we were talking about this with Aga in other contexts and occasions, but after this season, after all these conversations, it's a no-brainer. I mean, if you want to change something or influence some other people, well, you have to be ready yourself, not afraid, probably have to know what you want. The reasons for this change, they have to be also the right ones. Otherwise, this is basically what April also said. If the reasons for the change are not the right ones, it probably won't work.
I think that ASK is helping here to think about it in terms of tools. Again, talking about playfulness. Playfulness can be applied in the context of teams, in the context of leaders, but it can also be applied in the context of yourself. This is something that I keep on thinking, because this is one thing that I've learned from an amazing book, which is called The Art of Possibility, written by Ben Zander and Rosamund Stone. They talk in this book about something which is called rule number 6. I keep on talking about it to everyone who wants to listen. So sorry, guys. The rule number 6 says, don't take yourself so damn seriously. And playfulness helps us to be more relaxed about ourselves. This is something that ASK was talking about. And this conversation ties very nicely to the conversation with Scott Perry, who is also talking about having this stoic distance to who you are and how you act in the world in order to reflect on how you can change. So there is also this underlying current of thought that connects these two conversations for me.
Well, the final one for me is actually very optimistic. And now I just realized that the takeaways that I have, besides maybe learning from the past or from existing knowledge, whether from the past or from the adjacent fields, they sound like very like cliches. And I think I would have laughed at them if I didn't go through all these conversations. It's about, you know, the cliche about you have to be ready, change yourself before you can change anybody else or anything else. And the other also, I'm afraid, sounds like this, but it's really true, but it's very optimistic that this idea of empowerment and engagement and all those kind of nice things that we'd like to have around for us and for others, it is not something that we have to create. It's basically there in most of the people. You just have to stop blocking them or maybe unlock or uncork something, and things will go on their own. And that, I think, resonated also in each and every of these conversations. And since these conversations were with very different people, there's a big chance that it's true.
Mm-hmm. And I think that in all of these conversations, you can find hints and directions in which you can develop your own approach to empowerment, either with yourself or with the team or with the organization that fits you. There is no one way. There are many ways to do it. And if I were to think about what is my takeaway, like this ultimate takeaway, is that the silliest thing to do is to start big. Whether it's a team, whether this is an organization or yourself, start small and focus on changing the habits by incorporating new habits among the habits that you already have. This is what Mel was talking about. Mm-hmm. Your work, your personal life and everything all together, do it one by one. And the same for organizations. Don't do it across the whole company or the whole organization. And it takes time. Empowerment takes time.
When I think about the conversations in this season, is what you said just now, that you might find something really useful apart from being interesting in each of these episodes. But I honestly plan to go back to them once in a while, because at different moments in time, that could be a different thing that becomes helpful. I hope many of these will be evergreen episodes that I will have at least coming back to. Yeah. Okay, but that's the past. Big question. Is there going to be season 3?
Oh yeah, of course. And I think that there will be 3 of us there. Myself, you, Łukasz and Werner joining us.
Yeah, I'm staying until you kick me out.
We are super happy to have you with us. So when you think about transformation, when you think about empowerment, you want to transform yourself, others, the world. You get empowered. But then you have to go through another thing. You have to cross a boundary.
That yeah. is probably scary, isn't it?
Probably. So the season 3 is about crossing boundaries. It's about crossing boundaries in different ways. And the goal is to find people who are not afraid to take actions that are radical and not really incremental.
But it doesn't mean starting big.
No, it doesn't mean starting big, uh-huh. but, you know, it has to have this
threshold.
Yeah, and this leap of faith in it.
Oh,
and this,
the leap, yeah.
And that's going into the unknown. So I'm hoping that we are going to find radicals, provocateurs, and rookies. The more I'm working with companies, the more I'm looking at the world, the more I believe that we need more bravery, that somehow we are very cautious with the things we do these days. And I think that many people will say, like, oh my God, like, what is she talking about? But if you think about it, there's so much uncertainty around us that we are uncomfortable dealing with even more uncertainty. So we try to hold on to what's certain. So talking about crossing boundaries is not about recklessness. But I would like to follow the thought of Hans Christian Andersen and say that this is the ability to look at the world and say that the king is naked. Yeah, that's the plan.
I'm so looking forward to those conversations again.
So we can officially call season 2 closed, finished, done. And it's time to get ready for season 3.
Yeah. Hope to hear you guys there. See you guys there. What's the proper phrase here? Hope to meet you guys there in the season 3 of
Catching the Next Wave podcast.
So before we stop recording, what else should we do?
I would like to thank you, Łukasz. I would like to thank Werner for being those awesome hosts with me on this podcast.
And we would like to thank you.
Thank
Obviously,
you.
Without you, this wouldn't happen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But even more, I would like to thank our guests. Ask April, Mel, John, both Scots, Adam and Peter, for being such generous guests to us. Last but not least, we would like to thank our listeners. You know, it's awesome to record these conversations for the sake of having them, but having you listen to them and enjoy them and comment on them and share your enthusiasm for what we are doing. This is something that is priceless. This is something that makes us want to keep going and stay doing this stuff. So thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Catching the Next Wave podcast. We would love to hear from you on Twitter at Malka6 and at DLS6. You can find more details on www.catchingthenextwavepodcast.com.
The cats are monkeying around here.